The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
So this morning we've got John Hutchinson going to share. John, you want to come up? John's a good friend of mine. I first met him about 35 years ago and we became fairly close friends. We were involved in the basketball in the Philippines together, but John's been a chaplain in a high school. He's been a minister in different churches throughout West Australia. He spent a couple of years full-time in the Philippines. And he's a great friend. He's a guy that, you know, the sort of guy that you want when you're in a strife situation? John's the guy you want. He's a good guy. So God bless you, John, as you share with us this morning. And go for it.
Thanks, David. I think I'm on. Yep. As I was thinking and the hymn, How Great Thou Art, and one of the memories that I have with David is sitting on top of the jeepneys in the Philippines on one of the tours, and because jeepneys are made for Filipinos, and when you put, they fit about 20 Filipinos in, but when you stick an Australian basketball team in there, you only get about 10 in there. And so often David and I would be up on top of the roof rack sitting on top of the luggage and we'd be belting out totally out of tune and we'd forget half the words, but how great thou art as we'd look up into the stars and that. There's some great memories. 2016, new year. And as David said, and we've used the word, the hope that you have for this year. You know, we often, there's a song I sent, it's a good year and I hope it's a good one. And I imagine most of you are hoping that 2016 is a good one. And you're hoping that things will be good and maybe even that they'll be a little bit different to 2015. And this morning I want to talk to you about maybe looking at how you make some of your decisions, some of the choices you make, that can determine and that will influence your story that you tell in 2017 about 2016. Now, some of the decisions that I made only 12 months ago that determined what my 2015 was like. There's one decision, and as we all know, one decision often causes consequences and another decision leads to another decision. And one decision I made ended up enabling and seeing me do over a month's study overseas. And another decision, and that decision led to Julie coming with me, and we spent our 33rd wedding anniversary in the middle of the Dubai, outside Dubai in the desert, sitting on cushions in a traditional Middle Eastern village. And another decision that led to was me shaving off my moustache after 38 years. And yeah, our kids are 28. I think this year they'll be 30 and 28. They had never seen me without my moustache. And but it marked a moment and as a choice and a decision that I made. How are you doing? Is your hope full at the moment of what 2016 is going to be like? Or maybe you are here this morning with just enough to get you here. Just enough hope that things might be different. I hope as we share and as we have a look this morning, that hope may get fanned a little bit. And that will grow in you that 2016 is going to be a good year. You know, when Rod asked me to speak and he gave me the title, you know, Old Testament Favorites, I thought, wow, which one? And the Old Testament's got lots of stories and lots of favorites in there. But as I paused and I was running through them in my mind, I settled on one. It's actually one of the very first times as a teenager I can remember when having someone unpack this story and seeing how I could take something from it and I could hear and learn something about God and who He was, and I go, wow, if God is like that, and then that happened then, what can I do now? If He's the same yesterday, today and forever, then I can use those same principles now and see that, see these things happen in my life. I'm going to read to you the story in a minute. But I think it's a blockbuster. You know, if I was making a movie, I think this would be a number one choice. You know, they tell us, part of our culture is every now and then on TV they present us, they promote this great blockbuster that's coming. We've just had Star Wars and we've got, I'm not sure if it's out yet, the Superman, Batman one or something. But, you know, you see it advertised, meant to be a blockbuster. Well, I think this story has it all. Because it has a hero. It has deception. It has intrigue. It has some twists and turns and people in it. And if you would like to follow along, it's a story coming out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it talks about, it's a story about King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings and he predominantly and most of his life followed God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to start in verse 2. I'll start at verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Mennonites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already at Hazazon Tamar," that is, En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehazaziel. I'm not going to read the rest of the names. I tried it in the first service and made a mess of it. But the Spirit of the Lord came on one of the prophets. And he said, as he stood in the assembly, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they had finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berekah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Berekah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of the God came over all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Wow. Would that make a good blockbuster? I reckon it would. You know, with all the parts of the story. But who's our hero? Who's our hero in that? Who's the hero? Yeah. God is. You know, it's all about God. It's what he does, what the actors, what the people choose to do, who they choose to go to. And I want us to have a look at this. I want to undo this story a little bit. And I want us to have a look and, one of those other decisions was me learning and trying to use technology. So, there we go. Here it comes. Oops. It will work. There we go. As we look at the story and we hear what God's like and we see what Jehoshaphat does, one of the first things that I love And one of the things that we can take away from this story is what when Jehoshaphat hears about this army that's coming against him. And it's interesting, isn't it? It's real. And he has a natural reaction. If something significant, something huge, an incredible pressure was coming against you, it says, what was Jehoshaphat's reaction? It says he was alarmed. He was afraid. He goes, this army wants to come and kill us, wants to wipe us out. And so what does he do? I love the strength of what it says in the scriptures here, because it says he resolved to inquire of the Lord. Thanks. He went and the first thing he did was ask God. What do we do here? Next part of that is he didn't do it on his own. He said, this is big enough that I can't do this on my own. I need everybody, because this is influencing everybody. The army's going to wipe out everybody, not just the king. He goes, let's ask God. And he did something intentional. He didn't just go, oh Lord, help us with this, and then forgot about it. He says he declared a fast. And he got people to come in and pray together. Who enjoys fasting? Yeah. It's hard work. It's intentional. It takes our focus off ourselves and reminds us where the focus is. On God. I'm not sure what's in your life at the moment. You know, start of a year, but think life still goes on. And there may be things that you're carrying over from last year, or there may be things you know that are coming up, or there may be things that you don't even know yet that are going to happen tomorrow or next week. But when it happens, or whatever you're facing, are you asking God about it? Have you gone to God seriously? Been willing to put yourself out and realize and go, yeah, actually, I've got to be serious about this. And I shared earlier that as I was preparing this message, in the mind, you're thinking of who you're speaking to and encouraging you and those who would be here. I had a very clear sense that God was calling me to call you as a church, that this was about you as a church together, as a group of people. See, just as Jehoshaphat, when they were facing things, when they were asking God that they had to get through, we mightn't have an army coming against us, but there are other pressures that come against us. Will we seek and will we ask God first and don't do it on our own? You may have something come along and you share it with your life group if you're in a life group, or share with your leadership team or partner, say, this is what I'm facing. I need help within your family. Get others praying with you and around you. Ask God. Seek His support. It's interesting that where the people came and they began to fast, they began to pray. But they also, I get this sense that they anticipated and they expected God to answer. Do we expect Him to answer? And what Jehoshaphat does here to help with that anticipation, with that expectation while they're waiting, is to look back and remember. He says, hey guys, remember how God has been faithful before. Remember what He did when to our ancestors, when we actually came into this country to start with. He was faithful then. Look how faithful He's been. And he goes through, and I love this bit, that he doesn't forget to just give God a bit of a jibe here in the ribs. He says, yeah, but Lord, and guess who's given us a hassle now? The guys you wouldn't let us destroy when we first came here. They're the guys that are actually coming and giving us heaps now. He says, we don't know what to do, but we're looking to you. Friends, that where are we looking as we face, just even today, the things that we're doing? We know what's coming up this week, next month. Who are we looking to for our strength, our wisdom, our compassion in the things that we're facing? Can we turn and remember the things of how God's been faithful already? And God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's interesting, and I just learned this last week. And from the church I went to, and Dean was preaching, and he was talking about looking at the past, looking at the future. And we in our Western today culture, we're constantly, what do we get achieved this year? Where are we going? What's the goal we're going after? Let's go, let's go. If this is 2016, we're looking forward. That's our mindset. That's how we live life. And he was sharing that with the ancient Hebrews. They didn't live that way. They lived turned around. And they lived looking backwards first. Now I know David shared a couple of weeks ago on calling you to remember God, and Rod last week about remembering last year when God was close to you and walked with him. He shared some stories. Well, that's what this is saying. He said the Hebrews then looked back and said, wow, remember. Well, remembering that enables me to go forward this way. See, will we stop? And God's given this whole thing, this whole story about himself to help us remember what he's like, to help you remember how valuable you are to him and your own identity as a child of his. See, remember that. God says here, here's the story, remember that, so that now we can go forward. And Jehoshaphat got the people to remember. And he said to God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, but one of the things we need to do, that once we've asked and once we've remembered, this can be pretty hard. We actually need to listen. We need to listen for God's answer. Because how quick are we to often ask God something and then we're gone. We're out the door. Thanks God, here, Lord, I need this. Can you help this? Do this. Oh, thanks. Bang, we're gone. And God's going, you haven't waited for my answer. Actually, no, I don't want you to go out there. I want you to go out here. It's hard work. It's just like fasting and praying. It's intentional. But the people expected and anticipated God to answer. And they waited. And it says, then God did answer. Friends, when do we make probably our dumbest decisions? Usually when we're either afraid or discouraged, isn't it? When we're pretty discouraged, we usually don't make good decisions. Or if we're afraid and fearful, we usually don't make good decisions. What's God's greatest commandment as far as frequency, or what's the most common commandment that he gives us in the scriptures? He does it twice here just to try and get through to him. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. See, he can say that because he's seeing it through his eyes, and yet we're seeing it through our eyes. He says, no, this is mine. I've got this under control. This situation, this issue in your life, actually I can deal with it if you will let me. Whereas we see it through our eyes and we go, wow, the odds are way too big. That's way too much. I can't see how that can happen. No, that will never happen. And God goes, no, no, you can't see it. And through your eyes, you will never see it. Friends, God's going, will you trust me? And if you trust me, when you trust me because of what you've seen in the past, remember and don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Because it's my battle. I will do it. I will take control. But then he does ask us. You know, he answers. And he usually asks us to do something. You know, we can't. He doesn't just say, yeah, no worries. I'll help you. I'll remind you of this verse when we haven't spent time reading his word. We actually have to do something. We have to take a step. Because we've asked him, we've remembered, we've listened, and now he says, now, but I actually want you to do something. In faith. You see, if we don't take a step, our faith and our trust in God may be this big. This is how we've experienced God so far. He said, here's your experience now. He says, but to go get it that far is outside your current experience. To go to the next level, it says, take me higher. We sang it. Take me deeper. I'll go where you want me to do. But guess what? That's going to require something of me. So that my level, to go higher, to go deeper, I actually have to take a step of faith and trust in the living God who's the same yesterday, today and forever. Friends, it may be just a small step. They say, I'm asking you. He said to the army here, he said, go out tomorrow and take your stand. Now, guys, that's going to take some faith there. Go out of the shelter outside the city and take a step. So the army, I'm exposed to the army. And then he says, oh, just by the way, put the worship team in front of the army. That's not good military practice, I don't think. We go, what? And sometimes when God says to us, I want you to do that, we go, oh, no, I can't do that. But friends, see, God says, will you trust me? I can see the bigger picture. This is mine. I will take control for you. And you can't see it. No. Because this battle is mine. This issue is mine. But you need to trust me and take that step of faith. To step out and see what's happening. What is it that maybe God's even speaking to you now? About an issue, about a relationship or something that he's asking you to do something about. Because until we take that step of faith, he can't take us that next step. There's a blockage, there's something there. He's saying, I can't grow you deeper. I can't take you higher unless you'll take a step and trust me. Ask me first. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. And I'll tell you what I want you to do. I'll remind you of who I am. What I can do. How I see you. And I love the last bit. Is that they took the step. And God does. Brings about great victory. The armies, the opposing armies, turn on themselves and wipe each other out. the people from Judah just stood there and watched. But what was incredible, they realized and also they acknowledged who won the battle. They didn't start saying, hey, look at us, we're pretty good. No, they gave the honor and the glory and the credit to who? To God. He's a hero. He's the one it's all about. He's the one that wants to be the hero in your life and make a difference in 2016 for you. So it comes 2017, you look back and you go, here's the stories I want to tell you. God was faithful. God was good. God was more than I ever dreamed. He took me higher. He took me deeper than I've gone before. Wouldn't it be great to be able to tell that story in 2017? And then give thanks. And it was awesome, wasn't it? The army celebrated. And then Jehoshaphat says, let's go back to where we started. So that those who didn't come out and see what happened, but they can be part of the celebration. When God does something in your life, when God comes through and you see something happen, don't keep it to yourself. Give the honor and the glory to God. Share it with your life group. Share it with your church. Say, God is faithful. God is good. I couldn't see how this could happen. I couldn't see how my life could be turned around. Vanessa's story, I couldn't see it, but God can. Friends, and he gets the honor and the glory. And it's all about him. And let me pray. Just before I pray, well, you may just, as you sit there, you may be thinking, God may prompt you with a thought or a memory of something that he does actually want you to think about. He'll lead you if you'll ask him and let him. As I pray, and I'll give a benediction as well. Lord, we thank you that you are Lord God Almighty. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. Father, as 2016 begins to unfold, may we be encouraged, Lord, by your word. May we have the hope in how your word says that you are the same yesterday, this day and forever. You are the same God that did this incredible thing for Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. You're the same God that can do the impossible for us this year. So Lord, we give all over to you, knowing that you hear and you answer our prayers. And Father, as we go out into the streets of our community, go with the memory of this time when you have refreshed your souls in the presence of God and his people. Go with the intention to be faithful to Jesus, with the promise that you will carry his love and extend it to your family and your friends and to those you meet along the way who are in need. Go with the exciting reminder that at any moment Jesus may come again. In the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, I send you into our community and into our world. In Jesus' name. Amen.